Everyone but me. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chains nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, which is good for the economy because now everybody can get a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. And my very special guest is Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com and the co-founder, core member of RealGorillaMedia.com. Suzanne, welcome to the program.
Hello, everyone. I just did my show. Now I'm back on.
You can't get rid of her, eh?
I'm everywhere.
Yeah, she's everywhere. Kind of like a scumbaggery. Now,
yes.
I was just thinking about that. You know, scumbaggery never sleeps. It's like Wall Street. And incidentally, that's where most of the scumbaggery hatches. But, you know, I don't know what we're actually going to talk about with you here, Suzanne, because there's a number of things that I do want to talk about that we can't.
So let's talk about it. Talk about some of the crazy stuff that I've been through in the last 2 weeks.
Yes. Like craziness. So let's
It was crazy. It was a Wednesday. It was 4:30 in the afternoon. I was writing an article. My children were watching Curious George. Everyone was having a good time. My husband was looking through a magazine trying to pick out cars that we can't afford so he can buy them in his mind. And there was a violent banging on the door. And this woman calling my name, my first name, like she knew me, telling me that she was from DHS. And you and I both know in our line of work, DHS means Homeland Security. So I jumped up and said, oh, my God, why is Homeland Security outside our door? My husband looked through the blinds. She said, you know, Suzanne, come out. I need to talk to you. I immediately started searching for my phone. I usually know where it is because it's ringing, but I don't know where it is if it's not ringing. So I was frantically looking for my phone and going to call whoever I could get a hold of. I've got plenty of friends of mine who are attorneys because I got my paralegal degree down in Florida and I still talk to some of my friends and I got attorneys all over the country. So just trying to find someone who could answer the phone who was still there to find out what I was supposed to do. She continued to bang on the door for about 30 minutes and calling my name. And then she left. And she left a card at the stoop right in front of the door. So we opened the door and looked, and it was the card said Child Protective Services. So then my heart went from my throat all the way outside my body. I was literally, I was about to have a conniption because I could not believe that CPS was at my door. And I could not believe that she identified herself as DHS to begin with. So thoroughly confused. Nobody was going outside. No windows were being opened. You know, we weren't sure what was going on. She walked around. Where we lived was a duplex, and there were other people who lived next door to us. And so she was walking around, and then she disappeared around the corner. I found out later to get into her car because she drove through a parking lot. She came back with a police officer. Now the police officer and her began to violently bang down my door. And this was one of those, fireproof doors, you know, reinforced with metal on both sides. And I could have sworn that it was kind of come off the hinges. Absolutely. And my children were freaking out my husband was making phone calls trying to get somebody on the phone.
Let me just picture this. Bang, 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 bang. We're here to keep your children safe. Bang, 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 bang.
Yes, exactly. We have reason to believe that the children are in danger. Bang, 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 bang.
Well, okay. Now they are, you scumbag.
The police officer says, if you don't open this door, it's not going to look well for you. It makes us suspect that there is something going on. I said, do you have, who are you? I'm from the Beaverton City Police Department. Okay, what's your name and badge number? Why are you asking the questions? Because you're on my property. Okay, well, my name is so-and-so, and my badge number is this and this. And I said, well, I'm calling the cops. Yeah. So we called the cops on him. I asked him if he had a warrant, search and seizure, a warrant for anyone's arrest. He said, no. I said, get off my property. You have to open the door. We have reason to believe the children are in danger. No, the children were just fine until you showed up. Please leave. Since you don't have any legal right to be here and you don't have, you can't produce anything. And he told me, well, just open the door and come out here and talk to us. I said, no. No, I have like a Fourth Amendment right and a First Amendment right and, you know, a bunch of other ones all the way up to 27. So, no, I'm not opening the door. You don't have any papers. You don't have any court orders. I have no reason to open the door. You're on my property illegally demanding that I open the door, destroying my property. No. They stayed there. The whole thing took about 3 hours. And they ran my plates trying to, you know, find something, some reason why they could get into the house. Since there's nothing on me, they kind of got frustrated. My husband got a hold of my attorney. The attorney asked my husband to go outside and hand the phone to the police officer and or the CPS worker to get them to talk to him. And they both refused. And one of the interesting things is they never called me by my full name. They only called me by my first name. And they did not recognize my husband as my husband. They said that he could be anyone in the neighborhood handing them a phone. However, they watched him come from our front door and walk over to them. So who else would he be? They stayed for a little bit longer and left. Like I said, it took about 3 hours, the whole thing. We were absolutely freaked out, didn't know what to do. I started calling friends who have gone through CPS and dealt with these guys before and asked what to do. Every single person I spoke to said, get out. Get a truck, get out, go to somewhere where you're safe. If you can't get out, get the kids out. So, my husband and I sat down and talked about it. We got a secure place to go. We rented a truck and we spent the whole night packing up our stuff. And we literally took everything out of the closets, everything out of the bedrooms, put everything in the front room and packed everything into boxes and bags. And we were out of the house by 8:59 the next morning, before the court opened and they could get a court order and come back. We were driving away.
I remember saying to you, you know, you've done the one thing that most people who are involved with CPS in New Zealand, they're called SIFs. I find that quite an interesting coincidence that they name their child kidnapping service after a venereal disease. But every single one of them didn't manage to do what you managed to do, get out before they snatch off with your kids.
Absolutely. Oh, no, I know what they're going to do. I don't vaccinate. They're going to vaccinate them. They're going to put them on psychotropic drugs. I got a two-year-old. Yeah. They're going to put them on adult doses of psychotropic drugs and then claim that the kids are having adverse reactions. Of course they are. They're on psychotropic drugs, lithium and Valium and Prozac.
Yeah. It's like Club Psychotropicana.
Absolutely. No, it's not going to happen. No, no way. We are in an undisclosed place. I just, you know, kind of set up shop and put everything together. Didn't do my radio show that week. It's been crazy. Settling back in and getting back to work was cathartic for me, just for some semblance of normalcy. And we didn't get a chance to say goodbye. My son had a lot of friends in the neighborhood, and it was unfortunate. But we had a lot of people call us and, you know, ask us what happened. In fact, I found out that my next door neighbor worked for DHS for about 20 years, and she told me that she had never seen anything that would give her a remote reason to call at all. And she offered to write an affidavit, character witness, for us if we needed it. So far, my attorney has not heard anything. He has been denied requests to see the report and who made the report. He even offered a redacted version to not give the person away, whoever made the report, just to find out what was said, what reason they had to believe my children are in danger. But we have not gotten that. So now
this is the interesting thing, because don't you have the right to face your accuser? You don't have rights. You know, like, I remember people like talking about this. It's like, but they're violating my rights, and I'm like, ah! I think they still have rights. That's so naive.
No, actually, in the state of Oregon, you do not have the CPS can say under anonymity. It's protect the person who made, so that people feel comfortable making these calls. That's why the attorney offered a redacted version, but they have not complied. And it's been about 2 weeks since that happened, and we haven't heard anything. And so we're still vigilant, but we're kind of settling into where we are. But I have to tell you, I kind of look over my shoulder when I go out in public. Yeah. I'm a little nervous.
You need to put those like in Congo, you know, how they have those motion sensitive machine pistols on tripods, you know, just outside, you know.
Going out with like some big Jackie O glasses and a blonde wig, you know.
Yeah, totally. Stiletto heels, the whole thing. You look fabulous in disguise.
Absolutely. It's the craziest thing. And out of this, you know, the first thing I did was start to research what was going on. And, you know, a lot of things went through my mind, but I found out some interesting things about domestic relations here in the United States. And it's actually the same in Australia and the UK and Canada. Basically, what I found out is when you get married, it's a contract between the man and the woman and the state. And the product of that contract is the child, which is a commodity based on several factors like socioeconomic status, whether or not the parents went to school, what level of education they have, the background, of the parents' families. There is a number that is devised, and so each person is worth that amount. And so the mother is given loose guardianship over the child to take care of it. But the state owns the child, and the father has absolutely no rights. Fathers, people who know fathers, listen to this. You have no right. The only obligation that you have is to pay. You have a presumed contractual agreement with the government for the child that you will monetarily take care of that child for its entire life, whether or not you have a job, whether or not you will continue at the current employment when you conceive the child. And you have no right to see the child for visitation. That's all up to the court and the mother. You have no right to the child at all, except to open up your wallet and hand over cash, period.
Yeah, see, and me and my girlfriend Sarah, we've been together for, I think it's now getting up to the 7-year mark, or it will be on the 23rd of August. Yay, anniversary. And I got engaged to her like 5 years ago, and we haven't gotten married because I know that. I know that if we ever wind up having children and we're actually married with the state's knowledge and state involvement, that they can and will at any point take my kids.
Yes. And you have no right to them.
I know.
If something goes wrong in your relationship, she makes the rules of what happens to you. Mm-hmm. And she can change them at any moment. And she can make up whatever she wants. I looked up paternity fraud. You know, it wasn't until the 1990s in California.
Hey, paternity frog, is that a relative of Kermit the Frog?
Paternity fraud.
Sorry, I just slipped that in there. It's not easy being green.
No, it's not. Well, this gentleman in California won on appeal. It took the appellate court. The woman pointed at him and said he's the father. He brought DNA evidence to show that he was not genetically attached to that child. And the court said, she pointed her finger, you're going to pay.
Mm.
And they refused acknowledgement of the DNA evidence. And all he was asking, he was petitioning the court to stop the child payment, the garnishing of his wages. And he wasn't even asking for restitution for back pay.
Mm.
He was just asking for it to stop.
Now, I was having a conversation the other night with a number of whistleblowers at their house, and we were talking about rights and how you don't have any. And Grace Hayden, who's a 15-year prosecuting sergeant for the New Zealand Police, turned private investigator, semi-activist kind of thing, she says, actually, you've got three rights: put up, shut up, or pay up.
Yeah, that's about it. And women, oh my gosh. If your ex, for the men listening, if your ex, whether it's your ex-wife or your ex-girlfriend, ends up on welfare, let me give you a little hint. All of the money in the United States, folks, I'm not talking about other countries, in the United States, all of the money for welfare is taken out of Social Security. So when you pay your Social Security taxes, you're already paying for welfare. Then your ex goes on welfare, HUD housing, food stamps, cash benefits. You are now forced to pay again for these services, to pay the state back because she chose to go on welfare.
Right. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. After the break, my very special guest is Suzanne Posel, OccupyCorporatism.com and RealGorillaMedia.com. We'll be right back.
I got some so-called friends. Smile right to my face. All when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. There's only one thing I need to know.
Whose side are you on? Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that knows whose side we're on. We're on the side of truth, honesty, and integrity, unlike some people. And my very special guest is the lovely, the fabulous, the hellfire missile-toting Suzanne Posel. And she manufactures drones in her basement, for which she surveils Barack H. O'Barry, the lord of the drones, the drone ranger, who incidentally, during his speeches on C-SPAN, tends to drone on a bit. Now, how many drone puns can I get into a sentence? I think I just broke the record. Anyway, what were we talking about? We were talking about the CPS, Child Pedophile Services. I mean, Child Protection Services in the United States, and also the fact that when you get married, it is a contract with the state that the state owns your kids, and you, as a father, have no fracking rights except to pay up, put up, or shut up. All right?
Absolutely.
Now, here's the thing: how do you tie the knot now without that knot becoming the knot in the noose around your neck?
Well, here's something funny. My husband and I, we had our son, and we were engaged, and we were living in the West Coast, and my family's from Florida, so they couldn't afford to come out twice for the wedding ceremony and the birth of our child. So we decided to put off the wedding, and then we had our second daughter. Our second child. And so we decided that we were just going to have a ceremony, exchange rings, but we didn't feel the need to sign a sheet of paper with the state. Well, we got a letter. I got a letter asking if 3 weeks after my daughter was born in the state of Oregon, I got a letter asking if my husband was the father. Where he is, how long he resides in the home, if it's permanent or temporary, how much money he contributes to the house. I mean, this full questionnaire, which I did not fill out and I did not send back because I do not recognize their authority. But after talking with some friends of mine who are in family law, we made the decision to go ahead and have a legal ceremony. So we went down to the courthouse and went and had it done. I sent them a copy, notarized copy of the marriage certificate with nothing else in it, just that, and never heard from them again. So that's the catch-22. They wanted to garnish my husband's wages and take their cut and then siphon it back to me, which would have put our family in jeopardy because I just had a kid. And I ended up having complications from the C-section, so I was not returning to work anytime soon. And his income was the only income that we were living off of. So after they take their cut, we wouldn't have been able to pay our bills. And so the only recourse that we had was to sign this document. And if I'd known what I know now, I would never have done that either. I mean, we signed an agreement with the state that our children now belong to them. And they created CPS in order to take over because these children are worth something. They're traded on the stock market. They're worth a certain amount of money. And they are investment for the government. So the government wants to make sure that their investment is taken care of. And that's what CPS is there for.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
No, it's just mind-blowing. And then after this whole CPS thing happened, I looked into domestic relations. Basically, in the 1970s, they completely got rid of father's rights. It started with the New Deal with FDR and when they created welfare. And they started using Social Security money and the Social Security system in order to tag and trace everyone. And it boggles my mind because people who are old enough to remember before Social Security numbers, everything was going along just fine. And so then they put this number system. Everyone, literally, you become a number. It's traded on the stock market. You used to be able to go and look it up. And there was a YouTube video that showed you exactly how. But they've since scrubbed the YouTube video and scrubbed the ability to go look it up on the stock market. So it's very difficult to look it up. But I promise you folks, it's real. And I had spoken to a lot of sovereign citizens and a lot of people in the sovereign movement. And before all of this happened, I said, oh, yeah, that's good and well. And I'll file that away as information. But I never took it seriously until I started digging into domestic relations and the rights of the father, which don't exist, and what the child is to the government and what the mother's rights are. And then I realized, oh, wait a minute, the sovereigns have it right. They are onto something.
Oh, they're onto something. And you know what the sad thing is about the sovereigns is that every single sovereign that I've talked to thus far is currently... Well, here's the thing. You go into the sovereignty movement so that you can become free, like proper free, you know, not having to pay the taxes that you don't want to pay and don't have to pay, not wanting to have your kids taken off you and so on and so forth. And incidentally, every single free man on the land or sovereign that I've talked to is broke and under constant harassment by the police. So that's how you become free, by becoming bankrupted and constantly harassed by evil authoritarian scumbags.
Absolutely. There's a film, Ungripped, that anyone watching, the gentleman lives in Canada, but it's definitely worth watching because this gentleman shows you exactly how he got himself out of it. He actually put a flag up on his property. He wrote himself a constitution, absolutely emancipated from the government and from the jurisdiction of the laws. Absolutely. And the police departments here in the United States are being trained to look for sovereigns and to, you know, get them under their thumb and get them in jail as quickly as possible. Harass them to any means or any extent necessary to get rid of them.
Now, that's the interesting thing as well. I always wondered what the logic was. Okay, I'm going to use legal methods in order to fight people who don't use any legal methods.
Well, I had a gentleman just on my show explaining, because it ties into the biblical rights and the rights that we have in imbued by us by God. So I said to him, well, you know, which God are we talking about? Because there's lots of gods. And they and lots of different holy books have different rules and regulations that everyone has to follow. But effectively, it's the separation between the individual natural person and the corporation in which is created when you're born. And when you're born and they stamp your foot on that sheet of paper, that is symbolic and indicative of you stepping onto land. And then from that moment on, you're effectively lost at sea. Maritime law comes into effect. They don't know where the hell you went. All capitals come into play, and they're dealing with the straw man instead of the actual person. And every time you acknowledge the straw man, you have to do whatever they say you're under their jurisdiction.
I really, really don't like these people. In fact, I think I posted on my Facebook just yesterday about the two groups of people that I fear. Let me see if I can find it here. It's basically the two groups of people that I fear. Here we are. I now fear two groups of people, the gangs and the cops, who are incidentally a gang, and for the same reason. They're both violent, they're both dishonest, and have no respect for the rule of law.
Well, absolutely. Well, this goes back to a little bit of information that I found out last year, and I was going on every radio show I could find to talk about this. In the 1970s in the United States, Congress decreed that all of the police departments, not your sheriff's office, police departments are corporations. They all need to be corporatized. These are private security firms hired by your city to perform policing services. They are not the police. It is no different than Whack and Hut walking around the perimeter of a building that they were hired to secure. It's just the perimeter happens to be the city that you live in. Yeah. And they are not upholding the law. They are upholding the financial interest of the city. That's why if they get called, someone's going to jail. That's why there's money involved, or that's why there's monetary restitution.
Yeah, and this is why in New Zealand, a dude was attacked by his neighbor with a line trimmer, right? Nearly chopped the top of his head off.
Oh, my God.
And he called the cops. And the cop didn't even charge the guy. They're just like, no, there's no money to be made here.
Right. Right, exactly.
Yeah. All right. It's not their freaking job to protect you. You're just a slave, okay? Slave dies, slave gets assaulted. Yeah, who gives a frack, you know? And it was the same with Shane Wenzel. God, I hate that guy, and I haven't talked about him for years, but I hate him so much. He's just an evil sociopathic scumbag who runs this kind of cult-type operation. And what he does is he uses the sovereignty kind of lingo in order to get activists into his fold, and then he gets them to work for him for free, because they're activists, you know, and they think that they're doing the right thing. And then all he does is capitalize on all of their work and stuff like that. And he's a violent, freaking sociopathic scumbag. I get him on camera assaulting my mate, and myself, and he goes down on like 36 fraud charges, and then we're sending in the DVD to the police of the assault, and they say, no, don't worry about that, don't worry about that. He's getting charged with fraud anyway. And of course, about a year later, he gets released, and all his fraud charges get overturned. And it's also, incidentally, about the right amount of time whereby you can no longer complain about a crime that happened over a year ago.
Right. Statute of limitations. Gotta love that.
You motherfucker. You know, I hate the cops in that regard. And it's just, look, let's be honest here. Okay. If you're a police officer and you're listening to this, you're probably not a bad police officer. You're probably one of the very few good ones. Okay. Very few good ones. Do you understand? When people say, oh, not all cops are bad, most of them are. That's why you got recruited in the first fracking place, is because you have the propensity to be a violent, sociopathic, unempathetic scumbag. Okay? And I've met many, 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 many cops. They are either morons, invariably, most of them, thugs, violent, or liars, and then every now and again, you know, kind of like these little diamonds in the rough, you talk to one who's actually kind of a nice guy, and you think, man, I'm very glad that I found you. You know, out of sifting through all this entire, it's like finding gold in some kind of a mine or something like that. The most of it is just dumb rocks, and eventually you find a wee tiny, infinitesimal nugget that is inherently very valuable. Okay, this is my perspective on police. I mean. And I have a lot of firsthand experience talking with many, many of them, okay? So I know what I'm talking about here. Well, and if you are one of these good police officers, like, say, Police Prosecuting Sergeant Grace Hayden, is a friend of mine, she said that the New Zealand police are so corrupt, you will either become corrupt or leave. And she left.
Well, they ABC News, I was surprised, broke a story in 2010 about them going after people who had low IQs. And people who had high IQs were not allowed to go through the process to become a police officer. And this was deemed acceptable.
Yeah, one of my listeners in Australia, Gavin, he actually tried to apply to be a police officer, and his IQ test came back off the charts. And they said to him, "Look, I'm sorry, we can't hire you. You're too intelligent. You'll get bored out of your mind."
Absolutely, they're looking for a specific type of person because they have a specific agenda. It has nothing to do with upholding the law. It has had nothing to do with upholding rights or constitution or anything. In fact, when I told the cop that I didn't, since he didn't have a warrant for any reason to be legally to be on my property and get off my property, and I'm not opening the door, he had nothing to say. He just kept banging on the door, you know, a couple of threats. It didn't bode well for me, blah, 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 trying to get me to open the door. But, you know, I thought back to Brandon Robb. Brandon Robb did not know that he did not have to open that door. And as soon as the cop told him to come out on the porch, he was done for. If Brandon Robb had not opened the door and not crossed the threshold, he would not have been sent to that insane asylum. He would not have gone through any of that. People don't realize just because he's got a uniform on does not mean you have to open the door. Just because they send you a threatening letter doesn't mean you have to write them back.
They're reverse vampires, okay? Basically, they have to invite you out rather than you invite them in. But it works both ways as well.
Absolutely.
And they will suck the lifeblood out of you.
Yes, I would have had to go through parenting classes. It would have taken a year. And I had firsthand account. A friend of mine ended up in custody. And I'll talk about this on the other side because it's a crazy story.
Yeah, indeed. Custody is not just something that you pour on your nice desserts. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Well, Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Bear in mind, of course, again, as a reminder, this is a listener-supported broadcast. If you are capable of contributing financially to the show, and also there's certain equipment that I'm always in desperate need of, my external hard drive that was donated a couple of weeks ago is now almost full. So if you have a spare terabyte or 10,000 terabytes lying around that you don't need, please get in contact with me through the contact page at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, and I'll give you my address so you can send that out, or I can come over and grab it off you. I need external hard drives, man. There is so much stuff. Like I record my webcam, record the audio stream, and also record the in-studio with a camera on a tripod in HD every single day for 2 hours minimum. Not including if I ever go on anybody else's radio show. Not including if I go out to public meetings and things of this nature. Okay, there is nobody else in this country, nobody else in New Zealand, who does anything like what I'm doing to the quantity that I'm doing it. I'm producing more content per day than probably half of the activists in this country combined. Incidentally, about half of the activists in this country have been on this radio show, and I produce content for them because they work really, really hard. And I try to make sure that, because I've for me, making a video, making a radio broadcast, very, very easy thing for me to do, okay? For an activist who is spending all of their time researching so that they've got credibility and so on and so forth, they do not have the time to simply publish these works and content. And even if they did, they'd be publishing them to their own YouTube channels that only have a couple of hundred subscribers or something like that, and very few people would see it, whereas I've currently got about 7,500 subscribers. And so I lend that platform to these activists who give their heart and souls, minds, bodies, blood, sweat, and tears to save this country from scumbaggery. And I will not let them down. If you support that concept, that idea, that overwhelming body of work that I put in every single day to ensure that these people's voices get heard when nobody else in this country will do it for them, please, I implore you, go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Start an automatic payment through the bank account, preferably, because then PayPal doesn't get any of it. Or just make a donation or a subscription through PayPal. Just a couple of dollars a month. $5 a month is the average. You can do as little as a dollar if you simply just want to show that you're supporting and you just want to give something, but you cannot afford it really otherwise. And for those of you who have already donated, in fact, I wanted to give a special appreciation to Gert. In Europe, he gave me a 500 euro donation. Translating into US dollars, that's like $600-700. And it's currently basically all gone, because that's rent, that's food, that's internet, that's fuel, that's buying licenses for the cars and so on and so forth. It just suddenly dawned on me that that was the biggest generous donation that I've ever done, and he's done it a number of times. And I just wanted to give extra special thanks to him for his extraordinary generosity. I actually broke down in tears that day because I didn't know how the hell I was going to eat until it came in. I'm living on the bones of my ass, yo, because it needs to be done. There is nobody else to do it for you. Please support me, because I'm worth it. Kind of like L'Oreal Paris. And my very special guest is Suzanne Posel, who is also somebody who's really good at getting the truth out and helping people to understand the real ins and outs of what the heck is going on. The website is incredibly popular, OccupyCorporatism.com. And herself and her husband, very great and skilled, and people with integrity themselves, helped me to fulfill my idea of the real guerrilla media. Not to be mixed up with any imitators, any thieving scum or people of that nature who basically don't have any integrity. And speaking of which, we were talking about child paedophile services and what they've kind of tried to do to you. And this is, I was actually having a conversation with one of the whistleblowers the other night, Suzanne, about this very topic. And she's telling me these stories about how her children were molested by their father, and their father was kind of on the take, and it's interesting. Fathers don't have any rights unless they're the abuser and they've got the right connections.
Oh, sure. If you've got connect. Well, what the story I was going into, this friend of mine the child ended up in foster care for a year. The mother did have to get herself cleaned up, and she's a wonderful mother, and she did exactly what she needed to do to get herself right and get her kid back. But while that child was in the care of the foster parent and CPS, and I met with this child while they were under the care, just changing the diapers, no abuse anywhere else. When I went to change this child's diapers, 2.5-year-old boy, I saw abuse on his genital region, and that's as far as I'll go, folks. I don't want to get graphic. That I've never seen before in my life. And it was explained to me that it was a diaper rash. And diaper rashes do not have lesions about 3 or 4 inches long covering the entire testes, the entire scrotum, open wounds that are festering. I couldn't even apply a cream like Desitin or A&D ointment because the child was in pain. I couldn't even use a wipey. I had to use water and a small cloth and had to hold the boy while he was crying to just clean up a dirty diaper. And this is acceptable? The mother is not. The father is not. But this kind of behavior is acceptable to CPS and the foster parents. And this woman was 65 years old. Her husband had just had heart surgery, and she had 8 other children in her care, ranging from ages of 6 months to 10 years. And those children, all of the money she was getting from the state was paying for all of the medical bills that she had incurred from her husband being sick. And that was all these children were, a meal ticket, and they were abused.
Yep. There's a similar story in New Zealand. Daniel Ryder, who is the only activist that I've met so far, and I've met many, who I will unequivocally say is a textbook hero. There were 10 children, similar number to what you were just talking about, living in a garage on bunk beds.
Oh, my God.
With a child, youth, and family services mandated methamphetamine dealer, who was also renting them out to local pedophiles, you know, doctors, nurses, lawyers, police, that kind of thing.
Oh, God.
Daniel went round to their place with his truck, lashed a cable around the garage door, ripped it off, and he saved all of those kids. You know? When you just take direct action. And guess how many explanations he had to give to the police or child, youth, and family services about why he damaged somebody's private property and all of that kind of stuff? Nothing. They left him right alone.
I have a friend in Alaska, and she said in the winter months, these children go missing, 7 and 8-year-old children in the tundra in Alaska. And they run away from their foster homes, and they just that's the story, that they ran away. What child is going to run away in the middle of winter, in the middle of Alaska? 7 or 8-year-old child. These children go missing. Nobody ever finds them. You know where they are? They're probably in Austria or in any of these child sex rings, you know, shipped through Colorado with Pat Stryker and sent off on Bohemian Airlines to God knows where. And This has to stop, folks. These people are not there to take care of you. They are not there to help you. If I understand that times are tough, and I understand if you need help with feeding your kids or maybe a cash benefit, but you have to realize what the contract in which you are entering into. And your children are not worth that. Go and get a second, third, or fourth job. Mow lawns. Do whatever it takes to keep yourself off of those benefits. Because once you sign that contract, your children are up for grabs, and they are coming for them.
Yeah, it's absolutely right. And this is actually the subject for which I am most interested in. Out of all the subjects in the world, fluoride, chemtrails, New World Order, banking, conspiracy, none of that really matters. You know what matters? You know what really matters? Millions of children going missing every year all around the world, disappearing into child sex rings that are run by your politicians and protected by your police and your child protection services. It is a global network of abuse, satanic sacrifice, sexual disgusting horror. It is the most horrific subject. This is why it is the most interesting. This is why it is the most interesting to me, because the horror of it is something that is inherently traumatic. And I'm very interested in trauma, because I believe that trauma teaches you something. If you're getting uncomfortable with this conversation, good. You should be fracking uncomfortable, and you should be speaking about it. You should be doing something about it, because these children, even though they may not be yours, need you to do so. Suzanne Posel, thank you very much for coming on with me today. I very much appreciate who you are and what you do.
Thank you. Absolutely. Same here. I love you, man.
Mm-hmm. Love is a two-way street. And, you know, it's interesting. Love is not a finite resource, ladies and gentlemen. It's actually infinite. If somebody gives it to you, you can start to replicate it. And if you don't pass it on, it's almost pointless that somebody gave you love in the first place. We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Pass on that love.